Commission Member Walzik?
Here.
Commission Member Salazar?
Here.
Commission Member Bass? Commission Member McCormick?
Present.
Commission Member Pierce?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Would you stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do you have anybody for citizen participation?
No.
Citizen, or no, public here. So, we have no citizen participation?
No.
We'll go to 5A. Consideration of the remaining minutes for July 8th, 2025. Is there no public here?
Not in our agenda, no.
Okay, I apologize. Then I meant to sign up for citizen participation. If I may.
Let's finish this and then
continue past that.
On page, I was mentioned to say page 3, the commissioner had an ID was not marked. Is that who had to sit out? Yes, 16.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the bottom it says 16.
Right, it says 16. There we go. I make a motion to approve the minutes of July 8th, 2025.
Second. We have a motion to pass and a second to pass the regular minutes of July 8th, 2025. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We have a citizen that would like to participate. I'd like to allow that.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to allow him to speak.
A second.
So we have a motion to allow the citizen to participate. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good evening. This evening, item A, we're going to be talking about a recommendation on an ordinance. It's an ordinance I wholeheartedly support. We do need to have a zoning board of adjustments, because that is a quasi-judicial board. You guys are quasi-legislative. Being the judges over the rules that are made should not be coming to the Planning and Zoning Commission, nor should it be coming to City Council. However, the devils are always in the detail. The establishment of this here only allows for one person to nominate, and that's the mayor. After the board is established, I can see where the mayor would have the authority to make a nomination to fill a vacancy. But no one politician should have the sole authority to nominate all of those people on a judicial board. The establishment is the devil in the detail. Each council person should be able to nominate either a permanent or an alternate. And then it's voted on council. Because you can see where one individual is nominating everybody that's up there for a 2-year term that can't be removed. Well, that's one person's ideology. That's not good governance, okay? And that's the detail that I had brought up at the last time when you had the public hearing on this matter, because there's no establishment of this actual zoning board. I agree we need a quasi-judicial board that can hear these type of deals, but no one person, like I said, should be nominating all the individuals. Yes, council would vote to approve, but they're approving one person's selection. They're not approving, they may have, each council person may have someone totally different in mind, and they're not going to be given the opportunity to have that person come up for approval by council, because the sole authority, as written in the rules, and that's one of the things you're discussing, is the rules, adopting them. And in adopting the rules, you're not adopting how the board is initially selected. After the board is selected, yes, the mayor should have the authority, a vacancy comes up, make a nomination, and it comes up to council for the vote. But one individual should not be making all the nominations for a board that's quasi-judicial in this community. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to close that at 6:40. 6A, discussion and possible action. Discussion and possible action on an amendment to the city's code of ordinance at chapter 32, article 3, establishing a zoning board of adjustment and the rules and regulations governing the board, and adding chapter 153, article 8, section 153.122 regarding variances, special exceptions, and appeals outlining related procedures.
You can give me a minute to try and get the Facebook back on. We do have YouTube up, but, right?
Yes. Thanks.
If y'all don't remember me, I'm the principal planner with the firm of the law firm that y'all employ. This is back in front of y'all because, as you may are aware of, no action was taken at the last meeting. Essentially, taking
we were told that we could take an action. We were getting ready to take an action, but we were told that we couldn't vote on it. Just to make it clear, fact, I think we reported that, and I questioned that why you have it on our agenda as a discussion and action taken, and then immediately was told that our vote didn't matter.
Well, if I'm just going to be all
I just want you to make sure you put in the facts up there.
Okay, thank you for correcting me on that. So, City Council would like you all to take action on this, and I'm here to answer any questions and concerns that you all have. To address what the citizen had come forward to talk about the mayor nominating applicants through the board. That's fairly typical for most cities. It's the mayor that does the nominations. It doesn't stop city council from asking how many people applied, what were their qualifications, what did you look at. The city council still has to vote on each member of the board. It's just so the mayor, so one person is basically taking a look at all the applications and bringing the hopefully board the best applicant. It doesn't stop city council from asking more questions, figuring out why they chose a certain person. It just makes it easier, and most cities follow the same type of nomination. I wouldn't say it's the mayor putting everyone on the board. It's the required vote by city council to appoint someone to the board.
I wanted to come forward because I think we had a conversation last month, and I want to clarify something. Even though it was on the agenda for a action, there was no action taken based upon the dialogue that we had. Whether it was going to be passed by city council, whether it didn't matter, we brought it back because the vote needs to take place, whatever that vote may be. We brought in our planner from the law firm to help address any questions you may have in reference to why this is, why we need a zoning board of adjustments, how we would implement. I think a suggestion or idea was brought up in reference to the mayor nominating, but that means that the city council still needs, they're still involved in the process because they still have to vote. And so if you want to change wording on what that process or however you see it, that is like a functional process of it. But the mere fact on why this body, the city, needs a ZBOA is very important. And we also, so that's why we have, that's why I'm here. That's why Ms. Amanda is here as well. And so we want to be able to answer any questions you may have. If there's questions you have or any thoughts on what your understanding is. I know everybody has been a part of this board for a very long time. Some of the things we shared is that whether we're talking about, does the planning and zoning, would they be giving up something? The answer is no. So, and if there is a question, please bring it forth so we can ease any thoughts, ease how we move forward in this, actually as we get prepared to move the city of Kirby forward. So.
Why are we adding more government to a government we already have that's functioning? Yeah, hold on. Because this is mostly for the city, not our plan. They're not your plan. Upon reviewing the meeting with city council, you appeared to say that this was going to stop litigation. And according to chapter 2, it doesn't stop litigation. So if somebody wants to litigate the city, it tells you which court you need to go to as a citizen to litigate. Now, y'all are wanting to change something that hasn't been broken. I've been here since 1989, and there's probably people here that have been longer than me. You tell me one time that the city has been sued for a decision made by this board and transferred over to the city of Kirby. According to chapter 211, we're doing it the right way. This is a three-tier system. Why are we adding more government by putting an adjustment board up here, which they're basically doing the same thing we're doing. And basically, we're allowed to do under chapter 11.
Yeah, so you're not. I mean, chapter 211 specifically states that there needs to be a board of adjustment, and it needs to be separated from who's making the policy decisions and regulations, and so you need an unbiased board to grant variances, because y'all's job, and let me finish, y'all's job is to create regulations and policy decisions that benefit the city. Y'all's jobs aren't to pick and choose who gets to vary from those. Y'all are making regulations to be uniform for everyone throughout the city, and so the Board of Adjustment is there to make an unbiased decision because they didn't create the policies or the regulations. They're just there to grant people variances because they have a unique hardship to their property. We're not taking anything away from you. Essentially, what should happen is as variances are coming forward, staff and potentially City Council should be aware of how many are coming forward, and they should come to y'all to make a policy decision or a new regulation to address how many variances are coming forward. So if you're saying about the variances because people want to build carports closer to the street, eventually that should come forward to y'all to make a regulation that changes that affects the city. Y'all shouldn't be granting variances to a regulation that you created.
Okay, no.
And it has nothing to do with
Now show me where it says that we're required to have it.
Okay, so here is what it says. It says that the city may appoint a Board of Adjustment to grant these variances. If you don't, then you can't do variances. You have to comply with your regulations. So the option is allow people who have a unique hardship, such as the topography here, if they have like a hill on their lot that makes it really hard to build a house on it, so they want to build it on another side. Or you say no variances at all because we're not appointing board. So that those are the options. There really is no option for the PNC.
But you're just now you're saying that this board is going to do variances. The variances still come through us first.
No, we all will not see them. Whether we create this board or not, they will no longer come in front of y'all.
When did that change?
When did that change?
So it has nothing to do with y'all. According to 211, they come to us. No, they do not. 211 specifically says that if the city would like to grant variances, a special exception, or discuss a bill to an administrative decision, they have to go to the Board of Adjustment. If you don't create that board, then the city just can't do variances, they can't do special exceptions, and they just have to comply with the requirements of your code.
That's not the way I read it.
That's the way I read it either.
Yeah.
And it's section 001 to 007, which specifically states planning and zoning. If there is no planning and zoning, then the city can move to make a choice to have an adjustment board. But all those issues you say that don't come to us, they do come to us.
So I will say that I've been doing this for about 10 years, and no city that I've ever worked for or have come across avoids the planning and zoning as a board that can grant zoning variances. There are times that you can grant subdivision waivers. We like to call them waivers instead of variances because there's nothing explicit in the state statute that says you can't. So we can grant subdivision waivers in front of y'all, we can grant sign waivers, we can do all those things, but when it comes to zoning regulations, that is in the state law, chapter 211, that requires a board of adjustment to be created. If you don't create them, then you just can't have
Hello, Mr. Natalie. We have a public hearing in the meeting, just like we would at Burns City Council. Okay, so what's the question? I thought we had a misunderstanding on two of them. I don't, but because we're applying something that it, the way it should be applied. So then you're saying that everything we've done on variances for the last 30 years
I mean.
So when did that change? That we don't have the authority to have.
Yeah, the state, they have never given it to planning and zoning because y'all are the policy and the regulation, like you're creating regulations. And so it's just, there needs to be a separate board that's unbiased that reviews any variances to that. The people who are making the regulation can't decide, you get to not do this, but this person gets to do this. And so there needs to be a separate board that gets to review that, not somebody who created the rules.
But now the board's going to do the same exact thing.
Well, they didn't create the rules. The board does nothing outside of variances, special exceptions, and appeals to administrative decisions.
Okay, the question is, we've been doing it like this for over 30 years. Nobody has come back, sued the city, or anything else. Planning and zoning has handled it all. Now you're telling us that everything that we've done in the last 30 years is of no good because we're not supposed to be doing it.
Well, that's not exactly what's being said. So, everything needs to be evaluated on an individual perspective. That doesn't change what happened in the past, it doesn't change what's correct currently. And correct currently is whether there's a DOA or not, planning and zoning will not be seen for the variances. So if the city wants to have variances, for instance, that allows the administrative procedures to address those, planning and zoning, the board adjustment must be adopted. Otherwise, there's no way for that to happen. So regardless of what happened in the past, regardless of why or why not things happen, the reality is that planning and zoning will no longer be issuing variances, regardless of if DOA exists or not.
Do we understand that portion, or do we need more clarity? She is saying that whether we vote on the DOA, planning and zoning will not see variances moving forward. Do we need to know why? Do we need understanding?
The thing to also note is city council, like this is coming in front of y'all so you could have your opinion on how variances are granted. There's like criteria in it. You have the option to decide how someone gets to vary or go through these regulations through the board and the criteria that they have to use to approve it. And so they're asking for your opinion now. And that's something that is granted. So this, I would take this time instead of arguing whether you can do it or not, is to review the regulations and see if those are acceptable to you. Because it's going to move forward to city council whether y'all take action or not. And city council is going to vote on it. And it's either going to grant people the allowance to have variances or it's not. And this is your time to speak. And so, I mean, have you guys looked at the regulations?
Yes, we have.
Here's
my question. Not everything is a variance.
Correct. You're right.
They come up, they ask to put a barbed wire on. That's not a variance.
No, they don't have a hardship and they shouldn't get one.
And they come in front of us and say, we want to build a car park, here's our plans, blah, 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 blah. We say yes or no.
Yeah, and there should be criteria because in chapter 211 it states that you can only grant variance if there's an undue hardship. And typically those hardships aren't just because I want to do it. They have to show that there's a unique circumstance on the property to grant variance.
So you're telling us that we're still going to do it?
Still going to do it?
No. That's the whole point of this other report is that the variance they're receiving will go to that board.
Only if they have a hardship. If they don't have a hardship, they still have to come in front of us.
No, they just can't get a variance. They have to
sell it. So they just can't build their
property.
Yeah, and what they can do, the alternative for an applicant, what they can do is come during the public participation comment session and ask y'all, hey, this keeps becoming an issue. I would like to request that y'all make a code amendment. And then y'all can review those things. You can review, okay, well, it seems like everyone wants to build their carport 5 feet from the street, but we only can allow 10 feet. So maybe we should readjust our code. And so y'all's responsibilities and duties is to create regulations that are uniform throughout the districts that you place them in.
Does anybody have any additional questions for the attorney that's on the line? The attorney for the city.
No, I don't.
Natalie, is there anything final words you want to say before we get off?
Yeah, a final comment is the Planning and Zoning Board is statutorily required to make a recommendation. So if you don't like it, then you can make that appropriate recommendation in alignment with what is your beliefs are. However, incorrect beliefs as to the statutory authority of the Planning and Zoning Board should not be a reason to deny something that allows citizens of your community to receive due process for issues that they feel that they can agree by. You provide a resource for that in the BOA, or you don't. However, you're statutorily required to make recommendations. And so a decision needs to be made based on that.
Okay, so the question on that is, if we don't pass this recommendation, then what avenue does council have? They have to overrule
us. So if you deny, that's correct. If you deny, your vote is to deny, council does by supermajority. However, I want it to be explicitly clear that regardless of whether there's a BOA in the city or not, Planning and Zoning will not be doing variances. Period. Is the board investment or no one at all?
It's only for a hardship.
It's not even only for
hardship. Well, there's criteria as it's established, and that's what the point of a public hearing is. There's particular procedures as it relates to the board being able to determine whether or not hardship exists for the particular circumstances. That's the point of the public hearing. That's the point of the discussion. That's the point of submitting the information to the applicant. It's not just a rubber stamp situation. It's supposed to be a detailed review of the ordinances and the circumstances that surround each instance for the board to determine whether the specific instance meets the specific criteria to grant a zoning variance. And as Amanda said, if there are things in the zoning ordinance that y'all don't think are fair or applicable, then you can amend your zoning ordinance, and that is the ability that y'all have to address those items.
So, once again, this is in follow the proper procedure because there's no public hearing on this item.
So, we have the public hearing.
You have a public hearing last week.
At the last week in the beginning. It's just required for state law that if you're passing an ordinance, that you have a public hearing at least once for P&Z. And so, y'all already had that because the ordinance didn't change, nothing changed. We're just bringing it back in front of you so we can.
I just thought it was a presentation. I didn't see anything about public hearing. It was done according to our agenda.
Yeah, if you look at the agenda that you just approved, you'll see public hearing.
Is there?
And a notice. I forgot public hearing.
But I think that's all the questions we have.
That's all the questions. Thank you, Natalie.
Yeah,
so I know that we have differences of opinion on this. However, I think it would not, I personally believe it's not fair for residents to have to live by variances that are most like, I'm sorry, not variances, ordinances that we know are out of date. There's been, when I served on council previously, and even planning and zoning, we had numerous variances about egress and regress and all those different things about the carport being built too close to somebody's property. So I think it would be unfair for residents not to have an outlet, because either way, whether or not we as a body vote against this and then the council may not get a supermajority because they have to vote 6 to overturn this ruling if we say no, then that means that all the residents who want to improve their property are at a standstill until this body goes back and reviews every ordinance piece by piece, gets it sent to our attorneys to go through, dissect, to make sure that they fit with state law. So whether or not this passes us and then passes the city council, our residents are going to be a standstill for anybody who wants to come forward with a variance. And to me, that's not fair to somebody, a resident that, again, wants to do that. So although we may feel that this is, you know, how things we did it in the past, moving forward, we are being told specifically that whether or not this goes through or not, that no variances will be granted by either council or us because there's not a board of adjustment. So a board of adjustment is the only body that can hear people's grievances or variances or grant them or not grant them. So I do think that if in fact we are being asked to look at the specific wording and make suggestions to council, Mr. Romans mentioned that he didn't particularly care for the way that the wording was, you know, about the mayor may. Now, when I hear the word may, it just means to me that she can or he can if they want to, but they don't have to. But if there's a concern with those wordings, that wording, I think that at this point as a body, we suggest words that we can send to council for them to consider. That as far as whether or not a board of adjustment should be created, I think at this point we would be doing our citizens a disservice to say no and put them in a hardship.
I do believe that until the verbiage is changed properly, that we cannot vote on this because if the verbiage is wrong, we're wrong. So until the verbiage
is be like a condition, so we condition it because we believe that it should be the nomination of city council, and then that goes forward. If y'all know what you want to change it to, I think the recommendation would be to make that in a motion so that we can get this to city council for a vote, and your citizens can start applying for variances if needed. I also just want to stress and have it on the record that this is just for zoning. There are other avenues and options that city council can take for other things like subdivision waivers or sign waivers. This is just for anything in your land use chapter code that is granted under the authority of chapter 211. That those are the only variances.
I've been a little bit quiet because I think it's pretty concrete that this is a requirement and it's going to go forward, so I don't have much to add on that. My question is, while we're going through this process, will there be any delays of any resident trying to get any variances while we I guess, update or tweak any language in here, timelines from the time of the application to going to the Board of Adjustments, the layer step-by-step process? That's what I'm most concerned with.
So, of course, this is going to have to go to City Council for a vote, and then after that, y'all have to appoint the board. And that might take some time to get the board members. And the last time I spoke with city staff was there was a potential variance. I don't know if they pulled it or not, but it was for a carport. I don't know if y'all have heard anything recently or if they were able to fix that.
Yeah, they're going to pull it.
They're going to pull it. Okay. So. I mean, there are people who are, you know, building, they did a, may come up. Yeah, the city is really trying to enforce their zoning regulations and be consistent with everyone. And as that happens, you might see variances come before court.
Okay, so just to clarify, while we're in the process of establishing these board of adjustments, that and we still have, like, there's a current policy in place, so residents will not be pause their improvements to their property. So we are still on board.
So there's no variances. Yeah, so there's no variances in the queue right now. And so until the board is appointed, that'll be on the standstill. There's nothing
it's the same as
there's nothing currently.
Yeah, and the state doesn't, the only possible concern is that the CPOA is also granted the authority to fill any administrative official decision. So like, if someone doesn't agree with the decision within the zoning ordinance that the city manager has made, they can appeal that. The statute does require, there's a timeline, 45 days. So if someone does that soon, we might be in trouble. We might have to appoint people fairly quickly, but luckily that hasn't happened.
That's my concern.
Okay. We do want to change it. However, I don't feel it's proper to vote on something until the exact verb is correct. And of course, we want to change that the mayor would be, the verb is just completely, completely wrong there. And until we get that verb corrected, can we put this off another month?
Well, we can change it now.
It's, yeah, so what are you doing?
We can change it now, right? You make that as a recommendation.
Or you can make a motion.
Yeah, so what would the board's preference be?
What it sounds like, I think for the most part, in on page 3 and the creation of the members, I think we're already in agreement that the wording for 2 be changed from, I guess, the mayor and the council may nominate, or
council.
I think that's kind of. Well, I think all the mayor and the council should have a voice in it too, not just. I think that's really the main point of petition.
Yeah.
Wording. If there's anything else on verbiage that we have,
well, we have a resolution. The first time we have a complete copy of it, so.
We had it back from you.
I don't remember all those copies.
Is there? Now, my question, I don't know if the way this is written, has it been approved from the lawyers, the city lawyers,
yes,
the way
yes,
it's already written,
yes,
and besides the adjustments we made?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and this also comes with schooling, and they have to be on the tax rolls. Anybody appointed to this, I believe, I read in 211. And, they have to have schooling. They must be on the tax rolls.
No, I don't think that's not a requirement of 211. I think for this, we wrote it as they need to put this in the
enterprise. You have to be a citizen. They have to have schooling in regards to this.
So, no, it's not typical to have schooling, but we do suggest that you have a training for the board so that they know like what they're responsible for doing, what the procedures are.
Well, definitely they need to be citizens.
He has.
A resident of the city of Kirkland.
So it's B1, it states that the board consists of 5 members and 2 alternates who are residents of the city.
And so part of that is they are some city decided.
So we may need it.
There are some cities that does not require everybody, because there's a specific expertise that could be added or training. And so when you don't have every resident be a citizen, that allows you that flexibility to have somebody who has a skill set. Right now on 1B, we're saying everybody needs to be a resident of Kirkland. But we don't want anyone saying that we're doing that. But if you look at other cities, they don't have that specific requirement, because when this comes up, usually, like when I've used it before, when you get that body as an ad hoc committee, so that body doesn't meet during the year unless there's an application that comes before them. We normally will meet, once we get everybody, they'll give the notice, and then the attorney and or whoever, the planner, would meet with that person, though that body, an hour or 30 minutes before the hearing, so everyone's understanding their responsibilities.
And then they move forward with hearing whatever information, they get every information, and they sort through.
It's only 7 pages, so if we're going to send something, I think we should go through each page just to make sure that they have all of the information, so it's not just keeps getting, you know, volley back and forth.
Well, that's why I asked the attorney and looked it over and confirmed.
Yeah, this is from the attorney. That's why I said, so if anybody wants to change something, then the attorney is going to have to see it again to make sure that before it gets presented to council, that it's legal and, you know, binding, so that they can make a decision.
I think I have a problem. So they're right there. I see there's a concern about the board. Number one, I have no problem mayor and council nominating. That is fine. The other thing is also about worried about, there's supposed to be 5 on the board, correct? Okay, and 2 alternates. Just so you can have the majority, how about 3? We can put in the language, 3. Must be residents, citizens of Kirby, and 2 can be yay or nay. Yeah, Bear County, you can say Bear County. So at least you know, because we might have, there's people out there that's willing to come into the city to help that have that skill set. So, or you can say 4 citizens and 1 person from Bear County. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying there's options in the language you can decide on that. If that is the concern.
Yeah, you just took the words out of my mouth. I have to enroll the citizens of Kirby, maybe extending that, because the city is small. So extend it to the county. I literally just had that account. And my notes to alter that.
In many jurisdictions, the chair of planning and zoning commission serves as an ex officiant, a non-voting member of the board of adjustment, and that is according to the American Legal Publishing. It's from my notes from last year, and it's Exhibit A, Article 3, 32.5, membership and terms. The city manager's designee will serve as secretary of the board. In many jurisdictions, the chair of the planning and zoning commission serves as an ex officio non-voting member of the Board of Adjustment, and that is according to the American Legal Publishing.
So that American Legal Publishing is just a place where cities can store the code. So that probably came from another city's code. I believe that's what that website is. Y'all can do that if you want. Basically what that means is somebody from P&Z, the chair, if you so choose, is there to provide sort of some content on why the regulation was created. So if someone states, again, I'll just use carport because it's easier, that they want to vary from the carport regulations, the chair of P&Z could basically state why the city decided to have that regulation and why they choose 10 feet instead of the 5-foot requirement. It could be for consistency or aesthetic purposes. And so they're non-voting, but they're there to provide an input that could help the board make an appropriate decision. So we can add that if you'd like. It's not typical, just because it might not be feasible for somebody from P&Z to always be there. Typically, for most cities, you shouldn't see a lot of variances. Your zoning code should work for the residents. And so you'll probably see a variance. When you fix, work on the code, you'll probably see a variance maybe like 1 to 2 times a year, if that.
How often will they be meeting?
Whenever an application is submitted. So only when an application for one of the 3 options, either variance, a special exception, and a special exception, I don't know if I've explained this yet, but it's something you can put in your zoning code. So when y'all create a regulation, if you think, at times this makes sense, like we want all fences to be 8 feet high,
but for something like industrial, they might need 10. So we're willing to grant a special exception if you meet this criteria. So you can have 10, but it needs to be masonry and really pretty. And so that's something that would go in front of the board if you chose to put that in a regulation that you all created with city council.
At this point, I don't think that anybody up here was around when those initial statutes were put in there, so I don't know that anybody up here would be able to offer like why it was done that way. I mean, it was when they were made when there was land and things everywhere.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So personally, I'm okay with there not being somebody up here. I mean, anybody can go to those meetings and sign up if they had to, but I don't think that anybody up here needs to sit up there.
And it is great to hear that y'all have some concerns about filling the board, because one of the really important things with the board is that in order to even listen to an application, you need 75% of the board present. And that's why there's the alternate option, because if you can't get 75%, you can't even listen to their hands. And also to take action, you have to have 75% of the board approved. Because basically, what essentially is happening is that somebody's asking to not follow the codes that you all adopted.
Would y'all like to hear the example on how I used to be a way before? Mm-hmm. In the city,
I said no.
No, yes.
I think I would pick up enough information. I don't know this. Digest some of this and discuss it. So
at this point, yeah, I don't think we're going to have a choice. Yeah, like Lisa said, we don't want the citizens to be
suffer.
Yeah, because those are the ones that are going to suffer.
Right.
But I do think that we need to go over this now before it goes to council, because the last thing we want is going volleying back and forth.
Right.
If everybody's okay with it just saying mayor and council, you know, then let's just keep moving.
Yeah, like, mayor and council were 6B and 6A. I mean, B1, B2.
No, B2.
B2.
No, B1 was the city.
B1 is the residents.
So,
B2 and 6A, that requires both the mayor and the whole city council as a whole. And then, I don't know what y'all think about at least one resident from the outside.
But that's
part of it. Yeah, that's going to be B1. Either they're all residents or we just choose one.
Section 211.011. It says it has to be a taxpayer, an officer of a department, a board, or a bureau of a municipality.
So,
at least three members of
the mayor, at least three members of the city.
Say, let's keep the five members as citizens, and then the sixth one as an outside.
No, there are two alternates.
Two alternates.
There's only five with two alternates.
Yeah.
At least three as citizens, and the second two just have to be a resident of Harrah County.
I'm not agreeing with that. I believe that.
Well, the problem is how many people are we really going to get to fill these positions?
I mean, we're talking about schooling, but this board, through all these years, has already been making the same decisions that this board is going to be making. So if we were talking about the schooling and all those other things, then basically the boards before this one and any time actually were doing the job of the Board of Adjustments with the limited schooling or anything.
Here's another example. Why don't they just nominated as the board, of adjustments. I mean, where are we doing it?
We can't because that's...
No, but then they can get another planning and zoning.
Yeah, so that goes back to y'all creating the regulation, so to allow y'all to bring variances to that, wouldn't provide an unbiased opinion.
What bias it would be if a citizen...
There's an option that, since we could potentially appoint the, I know you guys have a building standards commission, that's a board that we can look at potentially appointing, because they don't create regulations like zoning, so we can look at that avenue, if we're struggling to find applicants. There's options, it's just unfortunately it can't be painted.
I just think we need to move forward with this though, so we can at least get on the books, and then we decide who's going, because I mean, there's nothing that keeps anybody that wants to be on the board of adjustments from resigning from planning and zoning and asking to be considered for board of adjustments. But if we get this in front of council first, then at least we can move forward with that piece.
Right, that's fine. Decide if we want to keep the wording as it is. I mean, we already agreed to B2 changing, but.
And B1.
Do we want to change B1?
B1, I would like that be changed to for our residents of Bexar County. At least 3 members required to be a citizen of Kirby with 2 options if they're Bexar County. I mean, all 5 may be with Kirby, but give that option to expand the resources.
I believe the alternate tower should be from Kirby.
That's fine, we may have everyone from Kirby, but at least give the option to expand to Bexar County for what's happened to all my
the two alternatives, correct? The two.
The original five.
The original five.
At least 3 Kirby citizens with an option of 2 from Bexar County.
Okay.
They all 5 may be from Kirby.
Yeah.
But
we need to at least get somebody from the outside. Whether it's the alternate or whether it's a regular one, just as long as you get two from the outside. I think 2 from the outside would be good. And then 5 residents.
Okay, so you're mandated 3 are from City of Kirby, the other 2 can be from Bexar County, at least 3.
Right.
And then alternates for the service. Because somebody's going to have that. The only reason I'm saying this is so that we can write that down, so when somebody says it, everybody specifically says it exactly.
Correct. Well, that's what I'm getting at. It's to agree on numbers so we can move on.
So out of the total of the 7, which includes regular members and alternates, 2 can be from their campaign.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Anything else
in the meeting?
I believe that's all that is involved with the people that will be doing it. All the other is criteria and things like that.
Yeah. The rest of it is a reflection of the way the board was run.
Okay, so the motion is going to have to be read with all of those corrections. Am I right? Get it, Lisa.
Regarding variances, special exceptions, and appeals to outline related procedures with the following changes. Where it mentions the mayor may nominate, we change it to the mayor and council may nominate. And the board will consist of 3 members from the city of Kirby. The other 2 members must be in Bear County.
Or
can be?
Can
be in Bear County.
Okay. Either way, though.
Are you good with that?
Yes.
Okay.
I second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to amend B2 to the mayor and council may nominate members to the board. And B1, the board consists of 3 members from the city of Kirby and 2 can be from Bear County. And then, is that it on that? All right. For that.
Yeah.
Roll call.
Commission Head McBee?
Yes.
Commission Member Walczyk?
Yes.
Commission Member Salazar?
Yes.
Commission Member McCormick?
Yes.
Commission Member Pierce?
Yes.
Motion passes.
The second one is Old City Road. It starts from one end of Old Seguin Road to the other. It starts from 78 and goes through Old Seguin Road from one end to the other. The third mapping is on Springfield. And that is from, I know we have light industrial over there, but if they ever choose to move out, we will have from 78 down to the city limits on Springfield. And we would have to take each one of these individually and discuss them and vote on them individually. Now, mixed use has been brought up so many times over the years, and knowing that we want a downtown, we've got to start developing it now. And this is just a step in that direction. So does anybody want to start out with what they want to discuss? Want to take Ackerman Road first? Anyone?
I don't think I can discuss Ackerman Road because I live on Ackerman Road.
Yeah, you do. Unfortunately, you won't be able to vote on this one.
The only thing that I can say about this, I don't mind the mixed issue, just as long as these businesses that we get in, you don't make it a business and a residence.
That's what mixed use is, actually. You can have a residence in the back and you can have a business in the front. Or you can go to a store. You can have the residence on top and the business at the bottom. And say somebody wants to open a coffee shop. Well, they live in the back part of it and the front part would be the coffee shop. That's the beauty of mixed use. And you could just walk down the street and get your coffee or ride your bike over there. It's all going to be in the neighborhood. What if somebody wants to open, say an attorney wants to come in and open up a little shop? He doesn't necessarily have to. He can use one of the homes that he bought and just make that his new legal base. A small bakery, a chiropractor. These older homes on that side are usually the best for that. And we're only doing one side of Ackerman because there are so many homes on the southbound lane that we need to leave them free and clear, at least for a few years. That was my premise of only doing a portion of the southbound lane. Anybody else?
It's just what it happened.
Right now we're talking about Ackerman, right? Correct. We've been trying to do this a long time, and if we want a downtown, we got to start planning for it. And this is the way to do it. So if there's no other things, can we take a vote at least on the Ackerman?
We're just discussing it.
Okay, we'll put that on for next year and let everybody mull it over. Let's go to the second one, which is Old Seguin Road. Old Seguin Road, I know originally we had commercial use only if anybody moved out of their homes. Well, that doesn't seem to be working out very well. And if we go from 78, there's a lot of homes there. All of these homes right here down to Old Seguin Road can be made into businesses with the same premises I explained on Ackerman Road. If somebody wants to put in a duplex, if somebody wants to, say, rent an apartment out of their home, they can do all of that. And they can't do it the way we have it right now. So that's the premise of Old Seguin Road. Now this is done all around the country. You can go even into New York City. You can go into small towns in New York State, Iowa, everywhere. You're going to see mixed use being used everywhere. The town's houses are mixed in with the businesses. And it's nothing to have a grocery store right next door to you. You know, or a fruit stand right next door to you. That's not unusual. We're the only people just about that aren't doing it. I know that even Universal City is putting apartments in between commercial businesses. They've changed theirs to some mixed use. It's happening in smaller towns everywhere to get the most bang for their buck out of their communities. We are landlocked, therefore we have very little land, if any, to help the businesses coming in. This is a way to help them do that. Now, Old Sabine Road, like I said, goes from one part of Old Sabine Road all the way down to the other part of Old Sabine Road. And it's from 78 to cross over Old Sabine Road. The third one is Springfield, which, like I said, right now has industrial on it. If at any time they choose to move out, we change it to mixed use. And they could put apartment complexes over there. They could put in some commercial buildings over there. We have a new gym over there, right next door to your house. So, is there any questions on any of these?
Yes, I do. I guess the residents, well, the businesses that are there now, because I'm not aware who's renting land.
Excuse me, we need the mic.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Who's renting land or who's owning property? Does Lucid change the classification for maybe light industrial to mixed use? Would that give them the option to want to move or like what?
If they want to move, they can move. If they don't want to move, they can stay there. It just because we're switching it to mixed use doesn't mean that we're forcing them out. In other words, if they want to keep their industrial land right there and do their business, light industrial, then they can continue to go there. But once they've left that property that they're renting or leasing or they own and they want to sell it, then it would fall under mixed use.
But we still have the problem of residents. You know, you can't change their zoning if you have residents living there decades and then they've passed down their property to their family. Still a resident.
Still gonna be a resident, yes. As I think we had two examples, yeah, that came in here. Originally, planning and zoning had made it all commercial.
Right.
But they can come in and ask if they can switch it back to residential as part of the mixed-use property.
But
so they can do that.
I believe that they could still have it as residential as long as it's occupied.
Correct. If for example, I think one lady wanted to pass it to her son, and that's fine. And the lady in front wants to sell it. Well, this will give her a better option to sell because it's not commercial. It will be zoned mixed use.
So how are you going to do that? If they're going to sell the property, are you going to allow them to sell it as residential or sell it as commercial?
They can sell it any way they want at this point. They don't have to sell it as commercial at this point if we pass this.
But wouldn't it be beneficial if they sell the property and no longer in the family? Wouldn't it be better if they sold it, they would have to sell it as commercial?
Actually, they're having a hard time doing that.
Yeah, I can help a little bit with this. This is something that's in local government code. There's requirements for when you can stop a use. Typically, if you do that before 6 months has passed, you have to pay them to stop the use. If it's been 6 months, it's considered abandoned and the use is no longer, you can say it's no longer allowed. You can extend that through your code, but most cities stick with the 6 months. I would also, you know, there are more things that come with rezoning things to mixed use. You know, you want to take into account like mixed use development that might be next to residential development with some residential adjacency standards. Like, okay, you can do mixed use, but because you're near a home, you're only allowed to get up to 20 feet. But there's other things that y'all should take into account. At a later time, I know you're trying to do little steps, but you know, mixed use is great for the city and can be if you adopt other regulations at the same time with it.
I would like to see, before going any further in any discussion on mixed use or changing, is the planning, the
comprehensive plan, the comprehensive plan.
See where it's like the plan is to see what would be the best use, or if there is any other properties or areas that could be beneficial to mixed use before we go any further, because to me mixed use isn't going to do anything on Springfield.
Yeah, and I know y'all are in the process of getting a comprehensive plan.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. And we're talking about the diagnostic. Yeah, the focus, that's one of the things on my time was, is it even viable to do do it? And I think to have more information before we go down this rabbit hole of changing. Yeah, and the comprehensive plan will help with that too. Typically it has like a future land use map, but it doesn't put regulation, but it puts like areas.
So it'll help with your mixed use development. Like you might say, this area is suitable for this type of mixed use development. This area is right next to the school, so we want to be mindful of what types of uses we have there, but it could be potentially mixed use.
Right. So, and I think that we need to have that kind of information before we go any further.
Yeah, it's a start. We have to start somewhere, and this is a start.
Yes, one of the things I'll share with you, we are currently going to be doing our kickoff with, as you heard at the last city council meeting, same presentation, information on that precursor report, moving to the master plan. Please keep this as a communication topic, so when we're having conversations with the architect and the planner, that we're incorporating these thoughts into that master plan that the city will adopt at some point. But again, we will make sure that everyone is included in that conversation, specifically you all leading that conversation to provide thoughts and concerns as we move forward.
Any more discussion for this?
No, but it's a good idea.
Stop discussion on 6B and 747. We'll move to 6C. Discussion on the downtown current.
We should have just put it together.
Yes, this was just one of the things that was asked to be put back on the agenda record. Moving forward that conversation again in the master plan, in the conversation, downtown Kirby is one of those things that we need to be getting thoughts and start making sure that we're included in our conversation. In the master plan, that will also be included, I think, Commissioner Walzik stated in reference to adding these things as far as where is downtown located? Do we want to look at that area and then saying it makes sense to do multifamily way or change the zoning based upon that? So that's part of a conversation you will have, like, let's just blow up that street. Let's count how many houses on that street. It's going to take that type of coordination. And so that's why you have staff and you have support here to help move the conversation. But when we also bring the professionals like our attorney and our planner, we also have to listen to what they're sharing.
One question I have, what area are y'all thinking of considering downtown Kirby?
The city of Kirby does not have a designated location.
No, I know that. What I'm saying, what is the city staff?
When we had the town hall, Economic Development Town Hall, and we talked about downtown Curley. The two main locations we talked about, which was to reduce displacement. So you had Old Sahim Road, and you had Ackerman Road, which we just spent over $10 million and about to complete on how that could also be a low-key, great location for a downtown Curley. So those are the two areas we had people, citizens who came to the town hall, put up stickers, saw some things. That's just a part of the conversation. But the city of Curley has not designated a location because we wanted to get this conversation that y'all are having, get the conversation from the master plan, and then wrap all that together to say this is feasible based on this with data, not necessarily our building.
Right.
Yeah,
those two are the main two areas.
We did look at 78, but obviously, you know, FM 78 is already built out, so one of the opportunities could be an overlay. What is an overlay? An overlay is an opportunity for you to put some restrictions going through the process in reference to, hey, there needs to be some landscaping, there needs to be a covering, awning. There needs to be some of these things that make Curley look like if you're driving through a community on the major TxDOT thoroughfare. And so that's an opportunity to actually go through. That's a process we can go through once we designate all the things we're trying to do. But the cleanest two places based on not having a current downtown was Old Sabine Road and Ackerman Road were the two opportunities that seem to be the easiest where there's not a lot of displacement. Or available property.
I think Old Sahim Road is like a blank slate down there, and it's a great entry point into the community where you could have welcomes to Curley. Right there where the old Dollar General is, that's a blank canvas to welcome people into Curley. It's hard because most communities, this was planned 200 years ago. Because Curley's only 70, we are in the process of having to kind of work through how hard it is of like, okay, where are we gonna put downtown? And so that's a great opportunity. And so the thoughts that y'all are sharing are what we're writing down. And then what we'll come back and put out of like, hey, let's look at Old Sabine. How much available space? Here's what we have and here's the information. You know, one of the issues with Old Sahim, because when you look at it, the front part of
The front part is FM 78. So naturally the business's back end is Olseguin. So could a person have a business on both sides? Like, you know, that conversation of how do you want to lead in? You do have your middle school as an anchor on Olseguin, right? So you have some opportunities to do some things, but these are just all things we're taking into consideration as we have this difficult conversation. And then trying to figure out, you know, what how do we move forward, right? How do we have people, how do we blow up from that? People walk through like, oh, okay, you know, you have an apartment complex, right, when you come off of, come on to Olseguin, right? And then you pass by there, and then you have some things, you have your bank on Olseguin. So you have some anchors, but again, when you look at, you know, Ackerman Road, you just put $10 million in brand new streets, but not Ackerman where all the houses are. Think of the Ackerman on the other side, that available property. You have majority of your city buildings on that side already, right? So there's some, it's like the Picasso, the opportunity, but again, it's not until we have the analysis to be able to share, like, what makes it a great decision. And then, you know, you have your park right around the corner, which is Friendship Park, right? And so all these things come into place, but it is a great opportunity we're at on how we're actually having the dialogue and conversation of, like, where is downtown Kirby? And if you ask all the residents, you know, everyone has a different answer. The goal, though, is for everyone to say whatever this that place is, hopefully in the next year as we go through the process.
Any more? Okay. Rule 16, go to 7A, request by members for items to be placed on future planning and zoning agendas.
Go ahead.
Put the downtown back on there because I really think we should keep moving forward on that.
And is already, there a discussion?
Well, I want to keep it moving because we keep talking about it, but I want to not talk about it because it's already going on and on and on. I want us to, we've kind of narrowed down to 2 locations possibly, but I want to keep it going.
Do you have something that you're going to share with us next month in regards to planning and yes.
You mean the diagnostics?
Yes.
So that, I would probably shoot for like maybe like a month or two before that comes in front of y'all.
Okay. I was just curious if it would help her out some. That would be great.
I know I'm an alternate, so I probably won't be back here at the next meeting, but I do think that the ordinances definitely need reviewed in preparation of all the things that were discussed tonight, especially as far as the BOA is concerned, because, you know, I'm sure that somebody could do a query of how many requests for different variances were done so that people could see the most requested, and I personally think it's the carports. However, then you can zone in on those to review those ordinances, and it's probably going to take a workshop and multiple meetings, because when we had, when I was on that review board for ordinances, I mean, it took a lot just to do other ordinances, and we didn't even get to touch on planning and zoning. But if you zone in, I mean, if you, you know, focus in on those, then the Board of Adjustments job, really, they may not ever have to meet if between the cursory, between the planning, between all of those diagnostics and deciding, you know, what this board is going to do, or what their, you know, what their plan is to in conjunction with all of those, the Board of Adjustment may never even have to meet if you dial that all in.
But within the second, you're talking about the city ordinance that set us up, correct?
No, like all the ordinances that say you can't can't build a fence unless it's decorative and it's 3 feet high, or you can't have it 10 inches from your neighbor's back door or whatever.
But I still think that when the Board of Adjustment comes on board, the ordinance that made us still needs to be updated. So we might want to look into that.
As a general for next meeting?
Yes. Yes, and be able to.
Well, that's a charter commission, so it may have to be charter review as well.
Yeah.
When that comes up.
Because I think it was last meeting or the meeting before, I did ask. Attorneys or somebody to look into that, so we have a direction to start if there was a major problem. So, yeah, I think we can still bring that up. At least discussion, if not else. Besides the flyers, we have, we're on the 16th to run and a walk from 1 mile to 12 miles and from 8 to 12 at Friendship Park and the garage, the community garage sale on the 29th and the 31st. I don't have anything. Just go to. Turn the meeting at 8 o'clock.